And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Recounted in Matthew and Mark's Gospels is an exchange between Jesus and some Sadducees. They ask Jesus a strange question about a woman who marries, in order, all seven brothers of the same family, all of whom die before they produce an heir. Of course, one wonders, after the first two or three of these brothers died, why in the world the rest of them would consent to marry a black widow like this. But that's beside the point. The Sadducees want to know whose wife this woman will be, quote, in the resurrection, that is, in the world to come. The key to appreciate the story is the background provided by both evangelists, that the Sadducees, quote, say that there is no resurrection. The Sadducees were a party in the ancient Judaism of Jesus' day who were from Jerusalem's upper class. They controlled the temple precincts, and they dominated the Jewish governing council, the Sanhedrin, not least because they were quite willing to cozy up with their pagan Roman overlords, who in turn protected and supported them. As a consequence, they were rich, they were powerful, and like people in any age who are rich and powerful, they are deeply resented by the people. But they also only affirmed the first five books of the Jewish Bible to be divine scripture, the book of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Conveniently for those in league with foreign pagan rulers, all of the Old Testament's prophecies about a new Jewish ruler from the line of King David, well, those come from other parts of the Jewish Bible. But again, that's beside the point. These Sadducees, their narrow canon of scripture, encourage them to deny many teachings common to popular Jewish belief, like, for example, the resurrection of the dead. This is a trick question. They want to trap Jesus in his words by exposing his false doctrine with a concocted logical conundrum. But Jesus' response is quite interesting. He knows what game they are playing, and he will not play along. Quoting from the first five books of the Bible, engaging them on their own turf, Jesus says, "Have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." The Sadducees know full well that this quote comes from the book of Exodus, when God first introduces himself to Moses, a good 400 years after Jacob had died and was buried. And yet God tells Moses that he is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not that he was their God, he is their God, present tense. That means, somehow, mysteriously, in a way that baffles the human understanding, from God's perspective, and that's really the only perspective that counts for anything, these dead and gone patriarchs are still alive. And in a masterstroke, Jesus hangs this idea on a conviction about who God is, which the Sadducees cannot possibly deny. He is the God of the living. To be the God of the dead would demean him. As our psalmist says today, "Who can praise you from the dust?" No one can. And that brings me to what we are doing here tonight. We are having a funeral service, but not for a recently deceased individual. We are remembering all those who have died in Christ in fellowship with a member of this parish. We call them the faithful departed. And we remember them before God on this day when we celebrate all of God's saints, the Feast of All Saints. And we do that for the same reason that Jesus exposed the error of the Sadducees. because their God and ours is the God of the living and not the dead. At the heart of this confession of faith is the resurrection of the dead, the Christian hope. Funerals are understandably sad affairs, but for they are Christian, they are punctuated by a great hope. The very first words of the Anglican funeral service, which we heard tonight, come from John's gospel, from the mouth of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. These words are quite apt, and in more ways than one. Jesus himself uttered them at a funeral, that of his friend Lazarus. But even though Jesus wept as he saw the grief around him, he did not lose hope because he knows how the story ends. The resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Because of what Jesus taught us, because of what we confess in our faith, in our creed every Sunday morning, because even deeper still, what Jesus demonstrated to us, made possible for us by his own glorious resurrection from the dead, Paul can write to the Thessalonian Christians, I would not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He then proceeds to describe to a congregation which has recently lost some of its own members to death, not only how their departed brethren are alive to God, but how they will in fact beat those of us who are alive to the glory of the age to come. They have an advantage over us who are still alive because they are that much closer to resurrection glory. It's a rather remarkable thing to say to a grieving congregation, but it's what Jesus himself said to Lazarus's family. It's, in fact, the only thing a Christian really can say at a funeral. We mourn. Yes, we miss our family and friends. The separation is painful. But we remember in our grief Easter Sunday. It's why we have the Paschal candle out at funerals. It's why a service of mourning begins and ends, I'll have you notice, with such bright words of hope. And we Christians have a thing to say about this to our world, because our world is terrified of death. How could it not be? It cannot see beyond it. It cannot know it anything other than the great cessation that it is, the great interrupter, the great leveler, the great enemy no amount of money or doctors or technology or prestige can finally defeat for us. And so we hide our cemeteries in far corners of our towns behind nice trees and pretty bushes. We put our elderly away in homes so that their failing bodies won't remind us of the mortality of our own. We glorify youth and spend vast sums of money to look as young as possible for as long as possible. And horror of horrors, coming to a state near you, we even sanction the early deaths of those with terminal illnesses as if it's a dignity. But we are really only dignifying ourselves, sparing ourselves the comfort of facing death, the discomfort of facing death. My friends, this is not the Christian way. We look death square in the face, and with the resurrection of Jesus Christ at our backs, we say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And we remember our dead before the living God as we will remember them by name tonight. And not, I should have me stress, not to get something from God for them that they don't already have. On the contrary, remember what Paul says. He thinks they are ahead of us. No, we remember them in order to remind ourselves that death does not have the last word. Death cannot hold them back. They are alive to the God of the living. We remember them to remind ourselves that we will one day be where they are, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing but life everlasting. We remember them because even now, mysteriously, while absent from them in body, with them, nevertheless, in spirit, we have, as my favorite hymn puts it, mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. We do indeed miss our loved ones, and that's okay. Jesus himself wept at the funeral of his friend Lazarus, and he knew what he was about to do. The separation is painful. The grief of our friends is difficult to endure. Sorrow is okay. Death is not God's plan for us, and it is okay for us to grieve it. But we do not grieve Christian friends as those who have no hope, because their God and ours is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. And he will raise us up with them on the last day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.